Go in your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 27. Exodus chapter 27. Amen. I told some of them just a little bit ago, this will be the first Sunday. This might be the first Sunday night we get out when there's still some light out. Praise the Lord. And my dad said, we might get out. I said, well, you never know. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's the one thing about the time change that is really nice. That hour we lost this morning wasn't very nice. Exodus chapter 27. Exodus chapter 27. And we'll look at two verses there. I haven't preached on the More series on a evening service, but I'm going to do that tonight. And normally I try to keep my series separated from by service times. I just felt like this was the night to preach this sermon. Exodus 27, verses 20 and 21. If you found it, say amen. I want to preach about pressing for more, all right? Pressing for more. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. Go up to that first verse again, verse 20. Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure olive oil beaten, amen, for the light. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. We're going to talk about pressing for more. And I was reading a story about a place in Beaumont, Texas. They were searching for oil. They were digging for oil, or drilling for oil, I should say. And they were drilling, and they got to be about 1,200 feet. And all of a sudden, they hit what they call a gusher. Anybody ever heard about a gusher? They hit that oil well, or that pocket of oil, and they hit it. There was so much pressure in that oil well there that it spit out, or I shouldn't say that, but it spouted out 100 feet in the air. What an explosion that would be to see. But they said that it was called Spindle Top in the oil field there in Beaumont, Texas, and they said that gusher blew for 9 days at a rate estimated of 100,000 barrels of oil per day. And when they hit that well there for 9 days as it poured out, that changed the whole landscape of oil in America. A different dimension of what they used oil for, because they found an abundant supply. Following that event, the United States became the leading producer of oil in the world. And it all started when they kept drilling, praise God, deeper and deeper, trying to find more oil. Sometimes that's how it is in church, isn't it? You got to press for more. Praise the Lord. You got to press for more. Now, there's an old idiom that says you can have too much of a good thing. And I think we know what that means. If you eat too much ice cream, it hurts your stomach, right? And if you eat it for too long, it makes you grow the wrong direction. You can have too much of a good thing. They always tell you, you need to drink more water. I got my bottle of water right here. They've made up this scientific evidence. There's no scientific evidence behind it, but they act like there is. You should drink 8 8-ounce glasses of water a day. I've heard them say you need to drink half of your body weight in ounces of water a day. I don't know, but I also read that you can drink too much water and die. So be careful how much water you drink. You can become water intoxicated. You can have too much of a good thing. We have a maximum capacity or limit of good things that we can handle in the natural. But you know, I dare say that none of us have approached the maximum of the anointing of the Spirit that we can have, or that we can spiritually contain. But church, let me tell you, God stands at attention, ready ready to pour the oil out. Amen. Ready to pour his spirit out upon us. The Bible tells us in Psalm 84 that he will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. And Jesus said in reference to prayer, we've mentioned it a few times this year already, how if you being earthly know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Amen. So that is one thing where the principle of having too much good will never apply. Church, we can never have too much of the Holy Ghost. And we need to press, even after revival, for more of him, for more outpour, for more oil in our lives. And that was what our text was talking about. I know they're talking about the tabernacle and bringing physical oil in to keep the light or the lamp burning. But you all know that spiritual symbolism and imagery there. So let me talk to you about four or five things concerning the oil and the text. Firstly, the pressing of the oil. That oil came from the olive. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to eat olives. I hate olives. But the oil from the olive is not too bad to cook with. And I don't know how much oil you can get out of one little olive. But he said, that's the oil that I want. That oil was a significant part of the culture of the Old Testament. This oil oftentimes would come through three presses of the olive. They made sure they got all the oil they could out of every olive. They would even eat the leftover of the olives that remained. So they would use it to the multitude of purposes they could find. But the first pressing of the oil was the purest of the oil. But this particular command, I want you to notice, in verse 20, he said, bring that pure oil olive beaten for the light. That word beaten, it was significant there. That term speaks of being pounded by hand in a mortar. It was more than just grabbing a cluster of olives off of the tree branch and throwing it into the mill. It had to be done carefully. It was costly. It was a special process. You couldn't get the oil like every other oil. This oil was something that was special. It was the first oil. It was reserved for the purpose of the tabernacle. It had to be carefully processed. You couldn't trust the donkey or the mule to run around in a circle with the mill and get that oil out. It had to be beaten by hand. And throughout Scripture, we recognize the oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit and the anointing from heaven. This oil here specifically was used to keep the flame or the lamp burning in the tabernacle. Again, another symbol of the Spirit, the fire, the working of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need to press for the oil. I want you to notice the purity of the oil. He said, bring that pure olive oil. That first oil would have been used for the purpose mentioned in these verses. It was for the lighting of the lamps. But that first pressing, God desired the best. He desired the most pure. That's what he deserves, church. He deserves our best. It was pure oil. It wasn't full of extra materials. Nothing of the olive had escaped from the pressing into the oil. It was without blemish. It was clear and perfect. There was an absence of corruption. So let me turn the page here and get back into the not the natural, so to speak, but the symbol here. When we start to put our personality in the oil, it becomes contaminated. The Holy Ghost doesn't need my personality to be, come on somebody. The anointing of the Spirit is the anointing of the Spirit. It is not the pastor's anointing. It is not the preacher's anointing. It is not some great man's anointing. The anointing comes from and belongs to the Spirit. That's the oil that we're looking for. His anointing is evident and enhances our personality. And our personality often does come out when we're under the anointing, yet transformed. But our personality, get this, it doesn't enhance God's anointing. His anointing is perfect all by itself. Come on. His anointing is perfect all by itself. When I start to think that preaching louder means I'm more anointed, that means I'm probably going to contaminate the oil. When I start to think I've got to use so many big words and take things in a direction that gets it to a height before God can move, I am contaminating the oil. God doesn't need any help in pouring out His Spirit. When we think that adding more riffs to the music, more complexity to our voice inflections, more rolls on the drums means we're more anointed, that's contamination of the oil. Now, all of those things often come when the anointing hits. When the anointing hits me, I preach a little louder. When I play the drums, I'd play a little harder. Amen. I'd do a little extra. But the anointing didn't hit me because of any of those things. Glory to God. Now, listen, I got to pause right here. When Paul's talking to the Corinthian church about the gifts of the Spirit, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant or unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you used to be enticed and led astray by mute idols. What Paul was referring to them to as he was getting ready to list the gifts of the Spirit, he was saying to them, when you were pagans and worshiping idols, you would go into those temples of idolatry and you would dance and you would holler and you would spin in a circle and you'd work yourself into a frenzy and you'd say, I'm having an out-of-body experience. And so Paul was trying to tell them, this is different than that. Glory to God. Amen. Come on now. What I'm trying to say is, church, we don't have to work it to a high pitch. We don't have to get it going just right. We don't have to sing always fast in order to say we had a good service. But the anointing, amen, can come. And whenever God's ready to pour it out, and He is ready, He's looking for pure hearts, amen, and ready minds. Lord, help me. The Holy Ghost doesn't need my influence. I need Him. I so enjoyed that Sunday night service we had in revival. We were gathered around the altar. We were seeking God. We were fighting in the trenches. We were praying one for another. And we didn't have to get hyped up. We were hungry and we were thirsty and we wanted God. I don't think it would have mattered if anybody had been playing music. We were going to have church. And then the fire fell, amen. And then we got a little hype. I like that, praise the Lord. But I like it when it's that way around. Come on now. Amen. I love shouting. I love running. I love dancing. I love jumping. But I love it when it comes, when the Spirit begins to move. And we're not working it up. And we're not trying to make it better. And we're trying to, amen. Y'all get what I'm saying? All of that stuff contaminates the oil. And it happens in liberal churches. And it happens in strict churches. It happens in all kinds. I've seen it. Lord, amen. We might should have turned this recording off tonight. Praise the Lord. I've seen it happen in all kinds of churches. You get there, our young people have seen it too, even recently. They say, hey, they just worked it up. They wanted to make everybody shout. And I appreciate when our young people notice the value, amen, of true worship and the true Spirit and the true anointing. The Holy Ghost doesn't need my influence. I need Him. Can I hear an amen? When I attempt, let's go beyond just that. When I attempt to live a double life, I come in here and act like I'm a Christian and a believer, but out there in the world or in secret, I'm doing other things. I'm contaminating the oil. When I live in bitterness in my heart and operate with a jealous spirit or think of myself higher than everybody else, I'm contaminating the oil. God wants pure oil. And that's what we're pressing for. So now I want you to go to the people of the oil, the people. This is where I need to spend some time tonight. There were two classifications of people given in the text. I don't want to sound presumptuous here. Please don't get that from this message. But there were two groups mentioned. He mentioned the people and he mentioned the priest, all right? He mentioned the people and he mentioned the priest. The priest was responsible for maintaining the lamp. The priest had to use the oil at the right time. He had to pay attention to the oil levels in the lamp. He had to maintain the flame. He had to keep the fire burning. But the people had to bring the oil to the glory to God. The people had to bring the oil. What we see here is that God instituted that even though the people could not be the priest, they both had to work together to keep the fire alive. Come on, somebody. They both had to work together to keep the fire alive. Not every one of you is going to have the microphone and get behind the pulpit, but every one of you can bring oil to keep the fire alive. We are people of the oil. Praise God. What we see there in further study on the oil shows that this oil would be used in part of the anointing of the priests and the kings. That oil would be brought to Moses, and Moses, the leader of the day, or who, Samuel, or the next guy who would come up and be the leader of God's people then, would get this oil and would add the elements that God said was to be used to anoint kings and priests, showing us that God is the only one who can truly pour out the anointing on us and set us apart for his service. So the people and the priest would work together to keep the fire alive in the tabernacle. The priests maintain the flame and the people press to bring more oil. Amen. Aren't you glad we are people of the oil? Praise the Lord. Notice there, God leaves it pretty wide open. He leaves it open-ended on who's going to bring oil. He says, command the Israel, or the children of Israel. Command the Israelites. He doesn't say, just go to the tribe of Benjamin. Go to Ephraim. Go to Manasseh. Go to the tribe of Judah. Go to the tribe of Simeon. And we can list them all out. He didn't say, go to them and ask them to bring oil. He said, ask all the children. Tell them they all need to bring oil. Praise God. He's no respecter of persons, church. So it is that you and I, amen, we need to make sure we're bringing oil. So it was a family, oh Lord, help me, a family practice. My mind went to, when I thought about this, and I know it's carnal, but my mind went to, amen, that episode of I Love Lucy, hallelujah, when they're in that tub, and they're stepping on those grapes, and they're pressing that juice out of those, I don't know why I thought of that, but she's in there with that other lady, and they're just doing that thing. Listen, I thought, amen, and that's so carnal, I know, but think about this. Our fathers, our mothers, your children, the grandparents, it's supposed to be a family practice that we're pressing for oil, amen. We're trying to bring oil all together. We're not going to leave it up and say, well, I'm old now, so I'm going to let the next generation do it, or I'm too young, so I'm going to look to the older generation to do it. Rather, the young and the old, under the law of God, would have to work together to press for more oil. It wasn't just the job of the man or the job of the woman. Everybody had to press for more oil. It wasn't left to the rich or wasn't given to the poor. They didn't look around and say, well, I'm too good for that, or I'm not good enough for that. It didn't matter what their status was. They were supposed to be people that brought oil. Hallelujah. And I can only imagine as one group got tired, another group could step in and say, well, I know you're weary. I know you've been pulling this train a long time. Let me do a little work for a little while. Praise God. Oftentimes it seems that's the way it is in our church services. The young people lead the charge one week. The elders lead a charge the next. But we're still working together to make sure we're bringing the oil and pressing for more oil. I remember Brother Gary Norris telling this story here, I believe it was, during revival several years ago. And he talked about how he was a preacher, a young preacher, and he was struggling, and he was weak in his spirit. And he thought, you know, I don't really have a place. I'm discouraged. I can't do anything for the kingdom of God. But he said he went to a revival service, and there he was. He sat on the front pew, and he said it this way. He said, I was miserable, but I was up there, and I was acting like I was doing right and doing good. And he said, all the while I was cold in my spirit. I was amen in the preacher. He said, nothing really happened in the service. But all of a sudden, there was an elder lady who had been sitting in the back, riddled with arthritis. And she began to stand up. And her name was Sister Haney, I believe. And Sister Haney got her walker out. Her husband was beside her. And she said, I want to go up to the front to pray. And her husband said, we can't do that. And she said, husband, you listen to me. Amen. I'm going to go up to the front to pray. And so her husband helped her up reluctantly to the altar. And Brother Norris said, I was sitting on that front pew. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw this little old lady who was riddled with that arthritis. She was in so much pain. I saw her get up to the front. I saw her grimace as she raised that first hand. I saw her grimace. And in pain, she lifted that hand to worship the Lord. Come on. She lifted that hand to worship the Lord. And he said it wasn't long till she lifted that other hand to worship the Lord. And she had both hands up in the air. And the Spirit fell on her. He said, when I saw that she did that, she was getting a hold of the fire for me. Amen. And he started running. He said, I ran around the church. He said, I ran again. I ran again and I ran again. He said, every time I ran, I tried to get as close to Sister Haney as I could, hoping that that anointing might fall on me. Listen, church, that's what we need. That's what I'm talking about. People of the oil who will not let the fire die. I remember going to visit an elder lady at Broadway Assembly. Her name was Sister Jean Fordyce. And the last thing Sister Jean said to me before she died, she said, Brother Cruz, you tell those young people they need to get full of the Holy Ghost. You tell them they need to get good and full of the Holy Ghost. She was about 90 or so years old, hadn't been to church in a while because she'd gotten shut in, sick and in pain. Oh, but the last thing on her mind to tell me as the youth pastor there was make sure they get a hold of God, they get a hold of the fire, and they become people of the oil as well. Hallelujah. I thought about Sister Helfenstein as I went to visit her this week, talked to her on the phone, and she began to tell me all the things she's praying for our church. She's a woman of prayer, amen. And she's over there saying, I can't do much, but I can pray, and I'm praying for God to pour out His Spirit and save. So listen, we are people of the oil. And then even today we got young Sydney and Declan up here singing about a chain breaker. What are they doing? They're pressing for more oil. Hallelujah. What have they learned? They learned they have value in the kingdom of God. We have Connect Kids. We've got Union Roadies. We've got our young adults. We've got Keystone. We've got a generation. We don't know what to call them between Keystone and the Saints. So I made up a name for you guys. I call you the Bridge. Praise the Lord. Amen. We got that group. We got Senior Saints. We've got Kids Choir and Youth Choir and Adult Choir. We've got voting members and visitors and people that come only on Sunday mornings. We've got Sunday school teachers. We've got board members. We have three pastors on staff, and all of us, church, have to bring the oil. Come on. Every single one of us are necessary in pressing for more. There's never enough oil. Look at your neighbor and tell him, there's never enough oil. These lamps, he said, make sure you bring the oil continuously. Bring it forever. Every generation, make sure they know they've got to bring the oil. These lamps, listen, the lamps that this oil would have lit would have been held seven candlesticks. During the day, all seven would be burning, and most often at night, four would be put out, and three would remain burning. So the lamps would be used continuously in the tabernacle. The flame would be on, the oil would be burned, and you know, that way it wouldn't take long for all that oil to be used up. There would need to be a continuous supply of oil in the tabernacle. The people were aware of this. They knew that they were necessary to the purpose. I wish you'd get this tonight. They knew that they were necessary to the purpose of the tabernacle. Amen. God instituted it this way, so every one of them knew that they were important in the work of the kingdom of God. Amen. Way back then in the wilderness, even every person mattered to God's kingdom. Every person has a place, amen? And without that continual pressing for the oil, the flame would eventually go out. Can you imagine if the priests went out, if Aaron had gone out and said, man, we're out of oil. I don't have time. I got to offer the sacrifices. I don't have time to go gather the olives and beat them by hand and get the oil out of that. I don't have time to do that. Eliezer, he don't have time. My sons, they can't do it either. We're just out of time. We got too much going on preparing the other things. And we can imagine they ran. That'd be horrible. Amen. That'd be bad. But they didn't run out. Praise the Lord. Because the people had a mind to work and they got to it. Praise God. And they kept that supply flowing. Amen. In church, there's more pressing that we need to do. Lord, help us. We might be able to live on the equity of past experiences that we've had in this place for a decade and point back and say, hey, remember what happened in 1995? And remember what happened in 2005? Remember what happened in 2025, that revival we had? Remember that? Praise the Lord. And you might, in 5 years down the road, that might be all we're still talking about. That's not what we're meant to do, church. We're meant to have fresh oil. Lord, help me. We're meant to have fresh oil. Fresh oil. Amen. We're not made to just survive on yesterday. We're made to thrive in the kingdom of God. We're made to battle principalities and powers. We're made to fight against darkness. How are we going to do that? Because we're people of the oil and we bring fire to the fight. Amen. We're made to bring light into the darkest parts of this world. And that's only possible if we keep that oil flowing. Amen. So we press for more oil. The final point tonight is this. The perpetuity of the oil. I've never used that word in my life, praise the Lord. But if you look up in Google, I've heard it used. But if you look it up on Google, the definition of that word means forever. Glory to God. Google will use it in a sentence if you ask it to. And this is the sentence that it used. It said, all the Bonapartes, Napoleon and his offspring, were banished from France in perpetuity. I mean, that's pretty crazy to think that a people group can never be allowed in France ever again because of their father. But that's the example that they use. But it's pretty telling, amen, that it means continual or throughout. Praise God. And so Jehovah God told Moses, he said, tell the people that they're to be a people of the oil, not just in this generation, but the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. Come on now. We're supposed to, all of us, continue on the process of bringing oil. Amen. Sister Rebecca said 5 generations, I think, of believers, Pentecostal believers in her family. Last night at revival, a man testified, Brother Barker, my goodness, he was entertaining, wasn't he? So funny in that testimony. But he talked about how his great-grandma got a hold of this, and 7 generations now have been bringing the oil, letting God pour Pentecost into their lives. Church, that's what it's supposed to be. This thing isn't going to, come on, this thing is not going to die. We're going to continue to bring the oil. Listen, I may pass away tomorrow, but I hope and pray my son and my daughters know enough that they can gather the olives and they can bring the oil, so when they have children, they can tell them, hey, listen, we're going to bring oil. I mean, if God should tarry 100 more years, Union Pentecostal Church, we'll still have generations of people bringing oil. Why? Because we've not let it go down on our watch. Perpetuity. Every generation. Listen, I need to say this. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Amplified version says, don't get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, corruption, and stupidity. Praise the Lord. But it said, be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. I'm talking about pressing for more. God instituted that the people, not the priest, bring the supply of oil to keep the lamps burning. Church, you can't have a good Spirit-filled church without people being the people of the oil. Amen. The worship, the singing, the music can't bring it. The preacher can't always bring it. We all got to bring it. Amen. I tell you what, if you've ever, should I say it? If you've ever, thank you, brother. Amen. If you've ever been up here before and you sat before a crowd that didn't want to be there, you know it's hard to try to pull a train. You can't wait to get out of that place. Amen. Woo. You know the word won't go out void, but you're like, God, I don't know what to do here in this situation. Amen. Because God wants all of us to bring oil from the front to the back, from the weak to the strong, from the young to the old. He wants every one of us to press for more oil. But let's go back to that scripture there. Bring in the supply of oil. If the people did not bring the oil, there could have been a day where the priesthood would go and find that the vats of oil had run dry. Notice that scripture again in Ephesians. I'm almost done. If our music could come, the likeness is given of being drunk and being filled with the Spirit. They're both used there almost as parallels. When you get drunk, I've never been drunk on wine or alcohol. I've had morphine before because I was in so much pain, and I know what that feels like. But I remember watching as a lady came into the bank one time. I worked with her at the bank, and she was my superior. And one day she came, and she had no idea what to do. I was so confused. I was asking her for help on problems we were having. She always had all the answers. But this day, she didn't know what to do. Finally, all the customers left, and she said, Ken, I got to tell you, I'm drunk. Amen. I was like, oh, my goodness. I shouldn't have said amen right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We talked about that, Sister Sharon, didn't we? Amen. Woo. She said, I'm drunk. She said, I don't even know how I got here this morning. That's what we call under the influence, right? But you know, if you get drunk on wine and alcohol, you don't stay drunk. Your body eventually flushes all those toxins out and you become coherent. You're no longer under the influence. But if you want to get drunk again, Lord help me, you got to drink more, right? That's what you do. That's what they do out in the world. They just keep drinking, and if they want to get drunk, they got to drink more. That's how it is. And so it is with the Holy Spirit, church. If you want to say you're full of the Spirit, you can't go back 20 years ago and say, I spoke in tongues, and still say, I'm filled with the Spirit. No, that's not how it works. He said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That means a continual, Lord help me, that means a continual flow. That means you got to continue to go back and press for oil time and time and time and time. Come on, you got to listen. Young people, I want you to listen. You don't need to just press for oil at Camp Dove. You don't need to just press for oil at Granite City or Camp Pinal. You need to press for oil in your bedroom. You need to press for oil in church. You need to press for oil in the prayer room. You need to keep pressing for oil, hallelujah, because you need to be filled with the Spirit, not just in the summertime, but in the wintertime, amen, and in the springtime, and in the fall time, hallelujah. Oh, our older saints, listen, I'm thankful for your past experience, but God wants to continue to give you dreams to dream, hallelujah. He wants to continue to pour His Spirit out into you so you can be used in the gifts among us as believers. Come on. God wants to listen. Everybody in between, the young and the old, you can't keep saying, oh, I spoke in tongues once. I must be filled. I want to know, are you full today as you were way back then? Are you still filled with the Spirit today? Are you pressing for more oil? Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Under the influence. I want to be under the influence of the Spirit. Amen. Our young people, our kids, our young ones, man, they need to know that it's not just about coming and praying and speaking in tongues and shouting and dancing and then going home unchanged. They need to know that being filled with the Spirit, Brother Aaron, it impacts the way we run business. It impacts the way we talk to our neighbor. It impacts how we lead our families. It impacts how we respond to our parents. It impacts every part of our lives. That's what it means to be under the influence and full of the Spirit. A Spirit-filled church was not just a church, or is not a church that's only full of the Spirit on Wednesdays and Sundays. Let's backtrack that statement, because most of the time, Wednesday nights seem to be a throwaway service for a lot of people. It's not about being a Spirit-filled church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We need to be Spirit-filled Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and even though Chick-fil-A's closed on Sunday, we ought to be Spirit-filled 24/7. Amen. We need to be Spirit-filled everywhere we go. We need to be Spirit-filled in every conversation we have. We need to be Spirit-filled. Hallelujah. But we got to press for that oil. We got to press for that oil. And I know. My older two, they're 14 and 17. They've learned enough. They got to know how to press the oil right now in their life. They're at that age already where they've got to start pressing. But Leah, she's still only 7 years old, figuring some things out. I know they all are, but you get what I'm saying. So Dad and Mom, we got to press the oil. Amen. We got to press the oil. And some of you, you got to pray. Listen, I know you have lost loved ones. You go home at night and you go sleep in the same bed as somebody who don't love Jesus like you do. You keep pressing for oil, amen. Because one day that Spirit, hallelujah, is going to speak to them in the night, hallelujah. And He's going to touch them. He's going to convict them. And they're going to look at you and say, it's because I knew what God did in your life. I knew He could do it for me. Hallelujah. Jesus, help us. I want to press for oil. How about you? The initial evidence of speaking in tongues, it's great. I love it. But church, we need to press for more. Paul said we need to pray to prophesy. Amen. Hallelujah. He said seek for the gifts. Church, I want to be a place where people can find help. Hallelujah. I want us to be a place. I really do. This is just, I know I'm taking a while here, but I think we can be a place where people who come in and have no idea what English even sounds like. They don't know how to speak it. But they come in here and they can understand every word that's sung and said because the power of the Spirit is working. Do you believe in that? I mean, I believe in it, church. I believe that God can do greater things than we even ask or think. But we got to press for more. I know I done confused a lot of your theology tonight. I'm sorry. But I'm not sorry, because it's truth. You got to press. If you want more of the Spirit, you want Him to pour more oil out. If you want Him to pour more of His Spirit into us, I want you to come and I want you to begin to ask the Lord. I want you to press in and ask God for more oil. Amen. God, I want to give you the best that I have, the purest oil that I have. I don't want it to be contaminated by what I think is talent. I don't want it to be contaminated by what I think is good. Hallelujah. I don't want it to be contaminated. But God, I want that fresh oil. I want that fresh experience. I don't want to live on yesterday's blessing. Yes, I go back and I look at it and I remember the good time that I had. But I also know that God has good things in store for today and tomorrow. And I need that fresh oil. I need that fresh anointing. From the young to the old, I want you to press for oil tonight. I want us to press. God, anoint me. Lord, anoint my children. Anoint our pastor. Anoint our teachers. Anoint our leadership. Anoint our singers, our musicians. God, let everything that's done in this place drip with oil. Hallelujah. Let every place we step be leaving behind step prints, footprints of oil. God, let everything that we do, oh, praise God, have that fingerprint of oil. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
within. Holy Ghost, breathe on,
breathe on us,
we pray.
Oh yes, Lord, hallelujah.
As we repent, turn from sin, revival embers smoldering, breath of God,
fan us into flames. Oh, listen, we need a fresh wind.
We need a fresh wind.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
The fragrance of heaven, pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. Oh, holy anointing, the power of your presence, pour your spirit out. Spirit out. Oh, we need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. Oh, holy anointing, the power of your presence. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. Fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. Oh, holy anointing, the power of your presence, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. For hearts that burn holy fear, purified in faith and deed, refiner's fire, strengthen what remains. So we the church who bear your light, lamp of flame and city bright, King and kingdom come is what we pray. We need a fresh wind, fragrance of heaven, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. Oh, holy anointing, the power of your presence, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. Oh, we need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven. Pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. Oh, holy anointing, the power of your presence, pour your spirit out.